Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Do you have a pair of PowerBlock quick change dumbbells? Well, if you don't blame me, because we're giving a pair away every month, November, December, and January. You just have to go to superhumanradio.com and enter to win a pair of PowerBlock quick change dumbbells. They go from 5 to 50 pounds. They're a great product. You'll love them. I have a set. I wouldn't do without them. And tell your friends to check it out. Okay. Whenever I have this gentleman on the show, we always end up stepping into some controversial area that causes fervor on the internet about things that he says. And quite often he's right. And we're going to do this again today. Dr. Peter Rouse sent me a DVD that he produced at his facility in Santa Monica, California, at AF Performance Centers. And I was really, quite honestly, I was shocked. But I was more refreshed by his concept of what core training is all about. How you doing, Dr. Rouse?
I'm doing good, Carl. How
you
doing?
There you go. Forgot to hit the mute button. There we go.
Yeah. It's a little bit of delay on the mute button there.
Yeah. Okay, so before we get into this, how long have you been teaching people this concept of what core strength and core training is?
Probably some 15 years, maybe even going back a little bit beyond that. It's more been an evolution during that time where as the research comes out, we have to adapt and change some of the ways we think. But overall, probably about 15 years, especially when we're talking about the movement around the spine and the lumbar spine in particular.
Now, I've actually always believed this, and I've never really voiced my opinion too much. You know, I'm a big proponent of using that ab wheel and doing almost like a full-out plank for my abdominals and my hips and my upper chest and so on. And then I watched what you talked about in your DVD, which we're going to tell people how they can get a copy of it. This DVD is absolutely worth getting, especially if you are a physical therapist, if you are a personal trainer, because this DVD, when you watch it, the light bulb goes off and you go, oh, wow, this makes a lot of sense. The idea, first of all, that core training is all about this stability on a BOSU ball and all that, that's just all bunk, isn't it?
Total BS. Total. It's actually quite the opposite in the fact that a lot of that stability training actually can increase compression forces on the spine. So in long term, they can actually cause damage to the spine.
And one of the things you point out in the video is something that I've always gotten my proverbial hand slapped for saying in the gym. I see people doing movements, whether they be lunges or weighted movements, where they're holding an amount of weight in each hand, and they're actually rotating their spine from left to right. You know what I mean? They're doing this this movement. I don't know how to verbally illustrate it on the air, but you know, they'll turn all the way to the left and then back to the middle, then all the way to the right and back to the middle. That is actually a very dangerous thing to do, isn't it?
The rotation, yeah, definitely. It's going to be causing a lot of rotational shear forces through the spine. What people have to remember is the amount of range of movement you have from the lumbar spine in rotations, only 13 degrees. And on top of that, only 5 degrees of that comes from the L5-S1. The rest of the junctions above that is only 2 degrees. So there's very little range of movement in the lumbar spine for rotation. And you couple that with some loading, yeah, it's pretty much disastrous. And then on top of that, you see people doing flexion along with rotation, and that's just going to – I'm not even going to go there on that one.
It's reckless, and personal trainers teach people to do this. I happen to know for a fact that the disc in your spine
– You have mail.
You have mail. I happen to know that the disc in your spine has mail. It actually has striations in the casing of it that when you are standing erect and facing forward – the bearing weight it can handle is 100%, but when you turn to the right or turn to the left, only 50% of the disc strength is there. People blow their discs out, not when they're standing straight up and down and lifting things, when they turn to the side and lift things.
Yeah, lifting mechanics is really important, but you got to also remember some sports and stuff are going to involve a lot of that unpredictable movement. So what we've got to try to do is, as we strengthen the abdominals, we've got to strengthen them in the form that they work to maintain that neutral position and resist against movement. A lot of people training nowadays, you see them doing, I mean, my favorite one is the sit-ups and crunches, which I totally hate. And, you know, you're loading through movement through the spine there, so you're creating movement that's not meant to be there, and especially under compression loading, and that's loaded force being on the floor there. So that's just creating greater compression through the spine, wear and tear on the spine that you don't really want to be doing.
Now let's talk about the abdominals for a second, because the truth of the matter is 99% of the information out there about training your abs is incorrect, and 99% of what personal trainers do with you is incorrect. I know the answer to this because I watched the DVD and it actually makes sense to me. Explain to people what the real goal of the abdominals are.
Basically, primary function of the abdominals, or you know, the abdominal lumbar pelvic hip complex, is to prevent movement, not create movement.
To prevent, this is critical, to prevent movement, not create movement. And to prevent movement, to protect what?
The lumbar spine. The lumbar spine does not have that much range of movement. And it basically, a lot of people think about the rotation. They're thinking, okay, I'm going to rotate from my lumbar spine. Rotation comes from the hips and thoracic spine, not from the lumbar spine. That needs to be stabilized. And that's why we have such a complex stabilization mechanism through that abdominal complex.
Now, when we talk about the abdominal muscles' primary job, and that is to restrict overextension of the spine. Is that a correct statement?
That's one of them. That's the rectus abdominis function. If you look at muscles, primarily they look at muscles in their concentric function. But when you have a look at the abdominals, sometimes the muscle doesn't always function in that way. So concentric meaning contraction. So if we look at the rectus abdominis, its primary function is to prevent extension through the spine. So that's an eccentric function. So, for example, I don't know if you've seen Aussie Rules rugby, but they're jumping up in the air, getting smacked in from behind. The whole body goes back into extension in midair. The rectus abdominis has to switch on to protect the spine. Otherwise, they're going to blow their backs.
Right. So doesn't it make sense that if you want to train that group of muscles, the rectus abdominis muscles, you should not necessarily be doing crunches, but you should be doing exercises that cause you to resist hyperextension of the spine?
Yep, and it comes back to your ab wheel. The ab wheel is actually a fantastic exercise when applied at the right time.
What do you mean at the right time?
Well, most people don't even have the inner unit functioning correctly in the core, let alone the outer unit. So using the ab wheel is more of an advanced exercise. People have to come back to looking at the basics. And this is where it comes into there's two schools of thought out there, and they're kind of pretty, I guess, aggressive against each other's schools of thought too. One school of thought is with the hollowing technique, which is, you know, brought out by the Queensland group in Australia. The other group is primarily bracing, which is, you know, a lot of McGill's research, and Stuart McGill's got some fantastic research information out there. But what it is actually, you've got to look at it as a combination of the two. So a lot of people doing the bracing or that global muscular system training, which includes the ab wheel, yet don't have the function on the inner unit or that hollowing function. Now, when I'm talking about hollowing function, that's working primarily the, you know, inner unit, and that's working like the deep muscles of the core, which abdominal core, I should say. That includes things like the diaphragm, transverse abdominis, pelvic floor, multifidus, you know, the lower fibers of the internal oblique, and then you've got the deep fibers of the psoas and recti and QL as well. So all those deeper fibers there involved with the inner unit function. Then you've got the global system, which most people are training now, which is your, you know, rectus abdominis, external obliques, and so forth. And they focus on only on one aspect.
Right. And that, and obviously it's not the best way to train, even though you're just, you know, you're focusing on this one aspect. It's also inefficient, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, if your inner units, let's say, for example, I get people coming into the clinic. Probably the time, 99.9% of the time, they don't have function of the transverse abdominis. You require function of the transverse abdominis to be able to brace, because it's a co-contraction between the what we call the local system and the global system. So that co-contraction must be present to create that what we call super stiffness, which is a term created by Stuart McGill. So that super stiffness is necessary to create that stability around the spine we're talking about. But you only can create that if both of those inner unit and the global system is working together.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the illustration that you had in the DVD that focused on hip movement using the Kegel, right? Which is something most men probably don't do, the Kegel, but most women do. We're talking to Dr. Peter Rouse about core strength. We're going to challenge the norm today about what core strength training is all about. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You want to train harder. You want to get stronger. Then you want results. Results from At Large Nutrition combines four proven ergogenic ingredients. Creapure, creatine monohydrate, beta-alanine, beta-hydroxy, beta-methylbutyrate, and dextrose. Results will dramatically increase strength, promotes blistering intensity, supports huge increases in training volume, and increased lean muscle mass. And isn't that why you train in the first place? That's why the strongest men in the world depend on results. You can find results at atlargenutrition.com. Stop complaining and get results today. Go to atlargenutrition.com right now. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to pjbraun.com today. That's pjbraun.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. Orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
LG Sciences pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Sciences want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Dr. Peter Rouse. We're going to shake things up. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of commentary on this show on Facebook, because basically what Dr. Rouse is saying is that everything you know about core training is wrong. Everything that you think you know about core training is wrong. Training the core does not require movement. It requires restriction of movement, correct?
That's totally correct.
Okay. Let's talk about an interesting exercise that you had on the DVD. By the way, right after we discuss this, we'll tell people how they can get the DVD. It's only $19.95, and everybody should invest in this DVD. I promise you that you'll be very happy once you get it. You laid a gentleman on the table and had him lift his leg, bent knee, and you examined the movement of the pelvis and the lower back. and you also had him doing Kegels, correct?
Yeah.
Explain the purpose of that and what was elucidated in there.
Let me take a step back on that.
Okay.
We're going to look at a breathing pattern, and we're going to look at the function of the pelvic floor. Now, the Kegel exercise, a lot of people may have heard of, especially if they've gone through pregnancy and so forth, or someone who knows someone who's gone through that. They do those exercises in the Lamaze class. Now, the pelvic floor muscles combined with the diaphragm is vital as part of the deep stabilization mechanism. And what we see when we see people come in the clinic is often we see altered breathing patterns, and coupled with the fact that they don't even know how to use the pelvic floor muscles. So basically you've got the bottom and the top of that stabilization mechanism not working. So if that's not working, then how can everything else work? So that's where we've got to start from. So you usually start with breathing pattern, looking at breaking the breathing pattern down first. Often we see people with reverse breathing pattern, and that means they're going to use secondary respiratory muscles to breathe rather than using the correct muscles, which primarily we need to see movement from the diaphragm. And that diaphragm is vital, as I said before, in that deep stabilization mechanism. Second, we go on to what we're just talking about now is the Kegel or the pelvic floor. Now, the pelvic floor musculature, we see a lot of people making a mistake here is – and I think this is taught in a lot of different classes. I get some hate mail from Pilates and stuff like that, which I don't really care. But what they do is they teach the pelvic floor muscles, or the Kegel exercise, as they tilt the pelvis. So
right.
You're tilting the pelvis back, flattening the lower back into the floor, and pull up on those pelvic floor muscles. The easiest way to probably explain to do the pelvic floor muscles without being too crude is as you pull up, say, for example, you go into a toilet and you need to stop urinating, then those are the muscles you want to pull up on and stop yourself from urinating.
Right.
So what they do is they teach that with pulling up and then posteriorly tilting the pelvis backwards so the back flattens out on the floor. And that actually, what that's doing is creating a dysfunction in that pattern, because what they're doing is every time someone activates the pelvic floor, they're teaching that movement to posteriorly tilt the pelvis every time they contract the pelvic floor, which
right.
is totally incorrect.
Okay, and then what? Now let's talk about breathing for a second. You did an exercise which I don't think many people would even think about breathing as part of core training. Let's talk about the breathing exercises that you did, and especially being able to breathe with the upper portion of the chest and the stomach, the two-third, one-third concept.
Well, you got to look at breathing. It's pretty much vital for life. I mean, how long can you go without breathing? And research shows that, if you have any kind of reverse breathing pattern or altered breathing pattern, that can reduce oxygen uptake by 60-70%, which is huge. That can have a huge effect on your health overall as well. Now, the breathing pattern, what we want to look at is, as you say, a two-thirds, one-third breathing wall. So two-thirds from the stomach, one-third from the chest.
Right.
When we breathe in from the chest, it's still simultaneously breathing in from the stomach. So it doesn't separate. Like a lot of people get the idea thinking, okay, I'll breathe in two-thirds from my stomach, halt that, and breathe in one-third from my chest. It has to co-consist, but what you do is you breathe in roughly one-third from the stomach and then the rest of the one-third from the stomach and one-third from the chest together. That's really important to kind of understand.
So it's
that
almost
concept.
It's almost a tie, and you showed how to – actually you said that in a few short sessions you can actually get someone to start breathing properly. You actually have them hold – a finger over one nostril, because apparently explain that too. I mean,
actually, that's a little trick that I got from yoga. I think it was Paul Check who actually showed me that one initially. And what it is by alternating nostrils, you're actually increasing the retraining pattern into that breathing pattern. So it allows you to retrain that pattern much faster than if you do in just normal breathing without the nostril exchange. That works on a neurological level where it heightens that level of neurological response. And if you're breathing correctly with that alternating nostril breathing, it's going to save you a lot of time.
Why would you teach breathing concepts when we're talking about core strength and core training? What role does breathing have in core strength?
Okay, first off, probably want to look at these three primary deep stabilization systems or mechanisms of the spine. That's the thoracolumbar fascia, stabilizing mechanism, interabdominal pressure mechanism, and the hydraulic amplifier mechanism. Most people wouldn't even heard of all these. These are the deep stabilization mechanisms of the spine. The interabdominal pressure mechanism if you think about a can, okay, a can of food or whatever, you've got the top and you've got the bottom and you've got the sides around it.
Right.
And that's where you got to look at the core in that sense. Now, what happens if I crush that can and that lid is weak or broken, it's going to pop out the top.
Right.
And vice versa for the bottom, where the bottom is your pelvic floor. This is a very simplified way of looking at it. So the transversus abdominis and the thoracolumbar fascia is that the surrounding can. The lid or the top of the can is going to be your diaphragm. The bottom is your pelvic floor. As you pull that, draw or pressurize that can, if you've got a weak link either in the pelvic floor or the diaphragm, that's going to blow out. And that's why we need to work on both the breathing pattern and the pelvic floor, so we can work on stabilizing that intra-abdominal pressure mechanism, which is one of the deep stabilization mechanisms.
Now, you also talked about something else in the DVD that wasn't necessarily about core training, but had to do with thyroid dysfunction. And you talked about how people lean their heads forward to breathe. What was that about?
Well, that's, you know, what happens is when you get reverse breathing pattern, older breathing patterns, the secondary respiratory muscles kick in to help dominate the breathing, which
and
is
that,
the
upper trapezius. And that raises the chest through the trapezius muscle, right?
Yeah, you see people breathing, okay? You should see a normal chest expansion of between an inch and 3 inches, depending on the size of the person, okay? So many people I measure, I've had people measure zero. They don't expand through the chest whatsoever when they breathe.
They rise up, right.
Okay. So what happens is the SCM, the sternocleidomastoid, gets heightened activity. You get a lot of trigger points in through there. Those trigger points can affect the function of the actual thyroid. So then, you know, you get that coupled with, you know, people adding fluoridization in the waters and stuff like that. You know, those two things together is going to cause a disastrous effect on the thyroid function.
Okay. All right. Now, getting back to breathing, isn't a lot of what you are espousing about breathing patterns actually been studied and taught through Eastern civilizations, through different martial arts like karate, kung fu, and so forth? They teach you about breathing through your abdomen, through your stomach, allowing your stomach to pull the diaphragm down and fill the lungs with air, as opposed to it rising up. Isn't that also a similar concept?
Absolutely, and that's where I probably originally got that from in the martial arts. There was was the breathing pattern and using that breathing to create more power, more chi, and so forth. So that's the line they teach it from. Also, just overall health wise too. A lot of the martial arts is based around health system or healing systems. So they look at how to heal the body and increase the healing rate of the body. Increased oxygen uptake, you're going to increase the healing rate of the body.
Okay. What do you think some of the biggest disastrous concepts in core training that are being promoted nowadays in gyms that are actually dangerous? What are some of the things that people are doing that you feel are just not only counterproductive but potentially dangerous?
Well, the one I see all the time is the sit-ups and crunches. I mean, that's just stupid.
Are they dangerous? Are they dangerous? I mean, I know that a lot of people who actually hurt their lower backs doing crunches, is that because they have an inherent weakness, or are they just a dangerous movement to begin with?
They were just unlucky because what happens – well, unlucky in the sense of they're being taught the wrong exercise, for one. But what happens is most people actually injure their back when they're not doing exercise. The exercise sets them up for injury. So when they go and pick up a piece of paper off the floor, that's when they blow their back out rather than when they're doing exercise in the gym. But the exercise in the gym has set that injury up. It's a repetitive motion. What happens with the sit-ups and crunches, you're producing around about 3,500 to 3,300 newtons of pressure, depending if it's a straight leg or bent knee sit-up. The compression forces through the spine there is only capable of around about 3,500 on average.
So you're very near to the 100% duty cycle of the spine at that point.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it will blow out then. But what happens is, how many people do one sit up?
Right.
It doesn't happen.
And I used to do crunches on a Roman chair, holding a 45-pound plate up above my head, not even on my chest, but above my face to get the maximum leverage out of it. So imagine what I was doing to my spine then.
Probably about 12,000.
I always thought that my sciatic condition that I encountered was from doing those seated shrugs, very, very heavy shrugs. And I know that that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But perhaps I've been inheriting this problem from those types of reckless movements all this time.
Yeah. Well, shrugs. Why do most people train shrugs? What do they want to train?
Traps.
primary mover for the shrugs was actually the levator scapula. Most people, have, if they overstrain the levator scapula, that causes a lot of neck problems. Stop doing shrugs to try to work your traps.
Well, I don't do shrugs anymore. I do farmer's walk. I mean, I do
walk and stuff like that. Where, you know, having to work in that fashion, but most people were doing shrugs for the wrong reason.
Well, and plus, I did a seated shrug, which is asinine. I had six plates on each side, and I was sitting in one of those machines. And the problem was when I took it from the floor and put it into position at the bottom of the movement, I rolled my hips forward and my spine backwards, and that night I had just searing pain going down my right leg, and the next day my foot didn't work.
What probably happened was that you probably set that injury up because of the type of abdominal core training you were doing wasn't capable of stabilizing that loading.
There you go. And what I think happened was I compressed the two vertebrae where the sciatic nerve comes out of the spine, and then it splits off and goes down each side of the leg. I think I compressed it coming out of the spine right there.
Actually, the sciatic nerve feeds through actual several levels of the lumbar spine there. So, yeah, you could have compressed any one of those levels causing issues there. Another issue we see there, though, is coming through the sciatic notch. The piriformis muscle compresses on that, and that can cause some of that sciatic issue too. So we've got to diagnose whether the condition is from the lumbar spine or from from the piriformis.
Yeah, and prior to that injury, I actually – believe that carrying my cell phone in my rear right pocket caused me to have some severe tendonitis, maybe bursitis type tendonitis in the piriformis muscle and in the origination of the hamstring. Because after carrying a cell phone in my back pocket for about 4 months, and I had never done that before, I developed a severe case of tendonitis in that area. So maybe that may have set me up for the latter. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's coming through the piriformis, and that's why it's just the right leg that's bothering me. Because surely if it would have been at the spine, potentially I could have damaged both legs, I would think.
Well, it depends on what side of the spine it comes out, left and right. So the nerves come out both sides. So it can be compression one side.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. We can have a look at that.
Okay. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, Peter, tell people where they can get this DVD. It's a great DVD for $19.95. You'll never spend $19.95 in a better way. Where can people get the DVD about this approach to core training?
They can go to evo-performance.com. So that's evo-performance.com.
And keep in mind, this is not a luxuriously developed DVD with fancy covers and labels and stuff, but the information on it is so challenging that I believe that anybody who trains either themselves or clients has a responsibility to take a look at this, because it really makes a lot of sense when you see it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. One testosterone was the king of muscle and strength building agents. Now there's One Andro RX. One Andro RX is pharmaceutical grade one androsterone. It converts to one testosterone in the body. The results are 7 times more anabolic than testosterone and can't convert to estrogen or DHT, so you never have to worry about bloating or water retention. One Andro RX will build lean muscle while helping you shed body fat. You can get One Andro RX by visiting ironmaglabs.com. The winter is upon us. Make this season count by adding some new muscle with One Andro RX. TJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to pjbraun.com today. That's pjbraun.com.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to steroiddefenselawyers.com. That's steroiddefenselawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Introducing SNI Global. SNI Global carries everything both the weekend warrior and serious athlete needs. Whether you're looking for pre-workout, post-workout, whey protein, mass builders, anabolic agents, performance enhancers, or energy boosters, you'll find it all at SNIGlobal.com. Want to train like a machine? Then get to SNI Global today. Check out their performance pack, loaded with over 10,000 grams of potent ingredients designed to increase energy, strength, muscle growth, and recovery. Go to SNIGlobal.com today. SNI Global. Train like a machine. Find anti-aging medicine at its finest at Age Management Panama. Doctor-supervised hormone replacement therapy can give you back your life. Increased energy, muscle tone, recovery, and libido while decreasing body fat. Science-based medicine under the guidance of Dr. Michael O. Sigler. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Management Panama banner to get started, or call inside the U.S. 305-395-4199. No matter where you live, Age Management Panama can help you. Just click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free consultation today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
How y'all feel out there?
I feel good.
Oh, yeah.
You'll feel even better if you get a set of Power Block dumbbells.
Check this out.
Don't blame me if you don't have them. And always, always, always patronize the sponsors of this show. I sell nothing. I bring you information. You decide what you like and what you don't like. But always patronize the sponsors of this show, because they make the show possible. And very shortly, we'll be giving away 2 free Quest protein bars to anybody who wants one. We should have that all sealed up by next week. The banner ad should be up on the website. If you've never tried a Quest protein bar before, you're missing out. So keep an eye out for that. My guest today is Dr. Peter Rouse, and we're talking about core training. Okay, so Peter, what other exercises do you see people performing in the gym regularly that it's just a mistake?
Okay, there's a couple of machines that we see in the gyms, mainly in the box gyms that are, I won't name names, but these are the rotational torso machines. You've seen those?
Yeah.
You sit on them and you rotate side to side.
Yeah, and people think they're training their obliques, I guess, with that, right?
Yeah, little do they know. That one's a real bad one for the shear forces to the spine. Also, another one is the back extension machine, where you sit on the machine and you extend your back against the loading.
Right.
You know that one?
Yep.
Okay, so those two machines avoid like the plague. My thoughts on that is the gym should be sued for having those in the gym, because the information is out there, really available, about the damage that those machines cause.
Really? Like, what kind of damage are we talking about?
Compression loaded through the disc is enormous. You're talking about disc damage. A number of different spinal pathologies can occur from using those machines.
What about those crunch machines? You know, I used to use one of these, and it always hurt my lower back, and that's why I stopped using it. The crunch machine that you sit in, your legs go against the pad, so you're pulling weight up with your legs while you're holding your hands up behind your head, you know, over your shoulders, holding the handles and pulling down and pulling up. So you're actually pulling with both ends of your body at the same time. You're pulling down and up with your legs at the same time, meeting in the middle. You know which one I'm talking about?
Absolutely. I didn't even know they still have those in the gym.
It used to hurt my back whenever I used to use it.
Yeah, that's, you know, that comes back to your setup. Just the standard setup and crunches is bad, then this is even worse. Any kind of loaded spinal flexion is really bad. There's no time in life that we ever use loaded spinal flexion in a normal situation. In the sports that may use a little bit of loaded spinal flexion or a lot of spinal loaded flexion, for example, gymnastics, guess what? They have the worst spines in the world.
Really?
So, you know, you think about it. You want to have a bad back, or do you want to do gymnastics? If you want to do gymnastics, it's fine, but just know that you're going to be blown out your back in the process.
What about I see people, trainers, you know, personal trainers working with their clients. They've got the client standing on a Bosu ball with 2 dumbbells on one leg like a crane of some sort doing curls. Is that really necessary to develop? Are you really developing anything worthwhile at that point in time?
I've got one thing to say to that one. If your trainer's having you do that, fire the trainer.
Really? So there's no value in that, you feel?
Actually decreases your function rather than increasing function. And that study's proven that too. It actually decreases firing rate of the muscles and stuff like that. It doesn't increase stabilization, stabilizes recruitment as well. There's research on that.
Really?
Yeah.
So, okay, so it's give my audience a little sneak peek into the DVD. What kind of things are you showing people? It's nothing that I thought it was going to be about when I saw core, when you told me it was about core training. It was nothing that I thought it was going to be about. So give them a sneak peek.
Okay, it's only a two-hour workshop that we did. We actually did a two-day seminar. We have the DVD available for that too, which is, it's about 8 hours long. So most people, you know, unless they're in the industry, will want to watch that one. So what we're just basically trying to do in that DVD is, I guess, eliminate a lot of the myths and also enforce some of the concepts that people need to apply to their training. A lot of people think that they're doing this, you know, this hollowing, this TVA work and all this creative work, they're going to be doing it forever. And if this is something I said on the DVD, you should be able to get through that first initial corrective phase in 2 to 3 weeks. So it's only a matter of 2 to 3 weeks doing this stuff and then bracing out into working on bracing technique and working on all those global type exercises. It's only a matter of a couple of weeks stepping back and fixing this stuff first before you step out into doing this global stuff.
Can somebody really fix it themselves without having a watchful eye, a person who is trained in this area? Can you really just do it yourself with a DVD, you think?
It will point you in the right direction. It may take you a little bit longer. I can get people up in 2 weeks, but you know, it may take you 4 weeks. But once you have the right information and you can try to feel what's going on there, then yeah, there's a lot that you can actually do to correct this.
And will this translate to better performance in the gym?
Oh, of course. I mean, better performance overall, and not only injured outside the gym as well. Most people actually injure their back outside the gym anyway, so. You know, prevention of that is number one. Also, performance in the gym, you know, the thing is that if you're loading or training with a flexed spine, which most people do, but you've seen doing deadlifts and stuff like that.
Right.
Studies show that it's 20 to 40% weaker than a neutral spine.
And the reason, that, I mean, the neutral spine actually is curves, right? It's like a shape like an S.
Yeah, it's neutral spine has, you know, that lumbar curve and the cervical curve, and then you're coming through the thoracic, you know, so you've got the S curve coming down the spine to the sacral spine there. So that's designed to dissipate forces from the ground up. And we're designed as bipeds, so we're designed in an upright position.
Right, it's almost like a spring. It's like a leaf spring, if you will.
Yeah, and we see a lot of people with postural distortion patterns may have, for example, flat back where the spine doesn't curve in the lumbar spine. You know, that lordotic curve doesn't exist, then the problem with that is they aren't able to dissipate force from the ground, meaning that if they're doing some plyometric or jumping training or something like that where people kind of jump off boxes and do rebounds and stuff like that and they have a flat back, their body's unable to dissipate this force. And guess what? That force then hits the head because it goes through the spine and can cause some actually major problems up in the cervical spine.
In the neck and the head. And when we talk about the flat spine syndrome, isn't the way we strive to stand, you know, people talk about posture, you know, standing up straight and so on, but isn't the way, the model that we're striving for incorrect, or is it correct?
I don't know what model you're striving for, but
I mean, I remember when I was young, I had a teacher tell me, you walk, put your butt and your upper back against the wall and walk away. That's how you should be standing day in and day out. And I've struggled with my whole life. I kind of slouch a little bit, you know, and I don't know if that's the wrong thing to do either.
Well, there's an easy way to test it. Stand against the wall, heels against the, right. Against the wall, butt against the wall. There should be a finger gap in your lumbar spine area. So if you reach your hand behind, there should be a finger gap in the lumbar spine. Your upper back should be against the wall and your head should be back against the wall. And that should be comfortable. You shouldn't be forcing that.
And what if you are forcing it?
Then you've got to work on some correction there. Whether it's, you know, if you're, what we call upper cross syndrome, then you may be looking at weakness in the upper thoracic area, or you could be looking at tightness in the pec minor and other areas in the front anterior shoulder capsule. Rectus abdominis also causes that, tightness in the rectus abdominis. People do a lot of sit-ups and crunches.
But don't do anything for their lower back, you know, to balance it.
And then the lower cross syndrome, which is more common in this country, is where the psoas or the hip flexors become tight, pulls you into a greater anterior pelvic tilt and gives you that Donald Duck type posture.
Where your butt is sticking out?
Yeah.
Oh, that, I thought that was desirable. At least it is, you know,
For women, maybe.
Yeah, well, but I mean, but I always thought that was an indication that you're standing up straight if your butt is sticking out, you know?
Well, there's too much, and mostly we see too much. The funny thing is, and this is actually, been found to be fact, and before I say this, I'll let you know my wife is Asian, so there's nothing, racial or anything, but we find that, Asians tend to be more commonly in Asia, flat back syndrome. Over here, westernized world, we seem to be more that lower cross syndrome or that Donald Duck type posture.
And do you think that, there's some sort of a societal inhibition that goes on in Asia that the women shouldn't, you know, or the people shouldn't pop their asses out so people don't, they have that flat back syndrome?
I think one, it's a genetic factor. Kendall and Kendall in the book Muscle Testing and Function actually discusses this as well. And that's a physical therapy book, and goes into detail about it. But I think it's one, it is the genetic factor. Two, it is the way they sit. You've heard of the Asian squat.
Yeah, yeah. They can actually, I've seen them, I mean, I've seen them just go from standing into that squatting motion and just sit there for an hour without moving.
Yeah, I mean, the whole sitting posture is one thing that's, because they aren't sitting on a chair, they aren't creating facilitation or shortening of the hip flexors, and particularly the psoas, so they don't create that anterior shear, pulling the pelvis into anterior tilt, creating that Donald Duck posture. So that's one of the reasons, too, is just the environmental aspect of how they are, you know, how they sit and stuff. But, wow, I mean, that is changing a little bit these days because they are becoming more westernized in the way they're doing things.
Right. All right, we're going to take our last commercial break. Tell people where they can get the DVD again, Peter.
It's evo-performance.com.
And it's $19.95 for the DVD, and then there's, I would imagine, just standard shipping, you know, United States Postal Service shipping?
Yeah, it's just standard shipping on top of that. I think it's all included in the payment.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. So go to evo-performance.com. Check out this DVD, and the DVD is labeled Core Training, right?
Just core training. We haven't kind of done anything fancy here for it. We've got to keep the prices down so people can get this information.
Yeah, there you go. The information is what you're buying. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back with more Supremo Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Are you tired of your current wireless service? Were you promised low rates but ended up on an antiquated system with poor coverage and slow texting? Well, now check out Lightyear Wireless, the official wireless company of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Lightyear Wireless banner to get the lowest rates for unlimited calls and texting on 3G and 4G networks. There's no reason to get substandard service any longer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Lightyear Wireless banner and get on board with the official wireless company of Superhuman Radio, Lightyear Wireless. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Managing insulin is key to building muscle and staying lean. Now from needtobuildmuscle.net, get the most effective insulin-mimicking, insulin-sensitizing, nutrient-partitioning supplement available without a prescription. Need to Slin. Need to Slin combines scientifically proven agents that shuttle glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. Need to Slin is so powerful that it should only be taken before a meal. You can get Need to Slin by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't risk another meal becoming fat and not muscle. Get Need to Slin today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
I did it again, baby.
Yeah!
The ladies are gonna love you.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. Peter Rouse. We're challenging people who think they know about core training right now. And I can promise you that if you think you know anything about core training and you watch this DVD, you're going to either come away really pissed off that you wasted a lot of time, or you're going to be changed forever. Anyway, so getting back to the DVD, Peter, people can get it at the website. It's $19.95. Do we know how much it costs for shipping? Is it $19.95 plus shipping, or how does that work?
Yes, plus shipping, but I think it's included in the payment when you pay on PayPal. I think it's $4 or $5 for shipping.
Yeah, so that's not bad. Okay. All right, and it's 2 hours long. What other key things do you feel that people will take away from the DVD when they see it that maybe will challenge their current beliefs?
Well, we actually talk about one person in the audience brought up about getting some of the exercises from the magazines. A lot of these abdominal exercises in the magazines been taught just to create the sell magazines, basically. So some of them are good, most of them are bad. So people need to kind of step back when they're looking for these core abdominal training exercises from the magazines and seeing if they're appropriate for them. One of the good ways of looking at this is, you know, is this movement that we're doing creating spinal movement through the lumbar spine, or is it preventing movement through the lumbar spine? And that's one way to determine what's going on there.
Yeah, interesting. Now, do you have any workshops coming up soon?
We have one on December 4th and 5th, I believe it is. That's the nutrition seminar we're doing. That's a level one nutrition seminar, which is 2 days, pretty comprehensive. There's actually 10 levels to that course.
Wow. You know, I think that's the week that I am going to be in California with Miss X, actually.
Well, you guess you can attend, huh?
Well, yeah, maybe. We'll see. That it's, you said it's the 4th and 5th?
Yeah, I believe it's that weekend, yeah.
Yeah, that's Saturday and Sunday. So, yeah, maybe we'll come down to L.A. We're planning on coming down to L.A., so we'll definitely stop in Santa Monica.
Oh, good. Then we can do a workout together, huh?
You're not getting me in the gym, man. You know what? I have not – I've been traveling a lot, and I don't know if it's the change in seasons, because I seem to recall that every year I feel this way as we go from summer to fall. And I haven't been to the gym in over a week, and I just don't have any real energy to go to the gym. And I don't know if it's because of the traveling or because of the seasons changing. What do you think? You have any opinions?
Well, you wouldn't have a problem here in Santa Monica. We're actually 90 degrees today.
Yeah. It's
pretty warm here.
It's 82 here. I mean, in Phoenix, I don't know if it's the change in the weather. I don't know what it is, but I just feel I haven't had
So traveling is hard on you, though. You know, you think about all the traveling you have to do, driving and flying. It can be taxing as well. Man, you got a lot of stuff going on too. So
yeah, I know.
It's a mental focus thing. A lot of people do lose that mental focus when they have a lot of stuff going on in their lives. Sometimes it's a matter of reestablishing really good goals, and writing those goals down and putting a timeline on them. So, that really is a motivator, and maybe post it on Facebook so you have to actually
have no choice.
Achieve those goals.
No, you know what? I'm planning on training this weekend. I was going to start Saturday. I was going to give myself through Friday to kind of get to the, because I'm getting to the point where I'm a little upset with myself. And usually when I get there, then the motivation kicks back in. And, I still look fine. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like as though I've lost any considerable muscle. It's just a week that I've taken off. But
that's a good thing. Often people train straight through. Often a week off or deloading week once every 2, 3, or 4 months is actually a really good thing for you.
And the truth is, when I do train, I train extremely hard. Anybody who knows me or goes to the gym with me, I think Carlos Cardenas has probably told you that mm-hmm. I don't go in the gym. I mean, I leave everything I have in that gym. It's not like as though I'm thinking, oh, I've got to work later, so I'm going to take it easy. I mean, I leave everything I have in the gym, and I train as hard as I can personally train. And I've been doing that for so long now that I almost feel like this week off may be beneficial. So we'll see what happens.
If you're training ahead, you should be taking a week off every 3 months.
Really?
If it's not a week off, at least a deloading week where you just take it real easy, just do some basic light movements.
I have tried that, but I can't do it. My ego gets the best of me, and I get into the gym. You know, I tried doing a light day on legs one day and then ended up doing my normal routine after a while. You know, it was just like, oh, the hell with it, you know.
Well, that sounds like you just keep out of the gym for a week.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I've been out of the gym since I haven't trained since last Thursday. So today it's 8 days. No, last Thursday was the last time I trained. So technically today is 1 week. And so, I'm going to give it to Saturday. Saturday I'm going to go in and I'm going to train back. And, should I go in and train? Yeah, core, right, exactly. Should I go in and train heavy Saturday or should I ease into it since I've been a week off?
Just watch the volume. I mostly tell people watch the volume rather than the intensity. So intensity being the load. Build it up and make sure you do your correct warm-up sets, but I tell people just watch that first workout volume. That's the one that's going to kill you, is the volume rather than the intensity.
I had Brooks Kubik on the show. Did you happen to listen to that show?
Yep.
I'm actually thinking about letting him put together a training program for me. Between him and Chris from At Large Nutrition, who is another one who is a big proponent of the conjugated method and more abbreviated training, going heavier. I kind of feel like it's the winter, and maybe I'll start focusing on my strength gains again and not what I look like. And I think I'm going to change it up. I'm going to take this opportunity of this week off to maybe design something new and start anew here.
Yeah, sounds good. Also, just come back to core for a little bit. Remember, do core training first.
Always first, huh?
Because you need the coordination, use that motor control first. If you do it after your training, a lot of these exercises need precise coordination, and you're too fatigued to do that. You're breathing hard and you're
right.
Exhausted. So you need to do your core training. It's the biggest myth in the industry that you will fatigue the core and then you'll put your back at risk if you train your abs first. That's a lot of crap.
Well, you know what's funny? Ever since I watched the DVD, I have been doing Kegels. Every now and then I remember to do them. And that's kind of a, you know, I mean, guys don't think about Kegels. I know girls think about Kegels, but I thought about the pelvic floor and the importance of the pelvic floor. And I started, sometimes I'll be sitting and I'll just, you know, I'll do like 20 reps, but I'll hold them really long for a long period of time. I'll hold them for as long. It's interesting because you really can't hold it too long. I mean, you can't, it just goes to show you how weak those muscles really are.
Yeah, you should be able to hold them for quite some time.
You had people great in the DVD holding them for what, 30 seconds at a time?
That's just to start with. I mean, we want to get up to 3, 4, 5 minutes if they can.
It's very hard to hold them. I mean, I'm sitting here doing one right now and trying to hold it and talk at the same time, and it's very, very difficult to hold them for a long period of time.
Great for your sex life, too.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, then I'll start doing them every day.
Maybe we do a whole show on that, huh?
Yeah, what, the sex life or the Kegels? Actually, I'm working on doing a show, believe it or not, and I'm going to kind of give a little – I usually don't talk about subjects until I have it all together. I'm talking to a doctor. Men who experience erectile dysfunction for, let's say, a reason, let's say you're using an anabolic steroid like decadurabolin, and you have an incident, And then, you know, you stop using that drug or whatever it is, or whatever it was that caused that initial incident. Now mentally you become like worried and you have anxiety about it happening again. And it actually happens over and over again. And apparently I've done some research now and I've spoken to a doctor who's considering coming on the show to talk about this. This is as big a problem for men as real erectile dysfunction. Like once you have a failure to launch incident, you worry about it so much it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, it's common use amongst the steroid users, especially with the Deca. I mean, a lot of stuff actually enhances it, but with Decadrone, it's actually a killer.
But here's what I don't understand. Testosterone is supposed to counteract the effects of Deca, correct?
Well, to a degree, it depends on the level of Deca you're taking in.
Is 1,000 milligrams of Deca a week considered high, moderate, or normal?
Yeah, that's pretty high.
I mean, I heard professional bodybuilders that I've asked this tell me that they've never gone over 600 in their whole careers.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking at, if people out there looking at combination or either using, want to use Deca, just take Bolt alone. Use Bolt alone, don't use Deca. You're going to get similar effects from the Bolt alone and without all the crap.
Right. Because basically what Deca does apparently, after doing more research about it, is it elevates progestin and prolactin levels dramatically.
Yeah, and that's a killer for you.
But even in the presence of like 2 grams of testosterone, 1,000 milligrams of Deca will still precipitate issues.
Yeah, it's not related to the dosage with the testosterone. So you could be taking 5 grams of test a week with that, and it's still not going to help you. You need to, you know, maximum dosage I've kind of seen in the field is around about up to 400 milligrams. Once you get over 400 milligrams combined with testosterone, you're going to start having problems.
I know a pro that told me that he never goes over 250 a week, and he only uses it because it makes his joints feel better when he's training heavy, which it does seem to increase accumulation of increases chondrocyte activity in the joints. So it does seem to lubricate the joints. But he said he just takes it 250 a week just for that purpose. He doesn't use it for an anabolic purpose, in other words.
Yeah, so he probably won't get the effect. You know,
he said at those doses you never have a problem, he said. But but when I told him that I had experimented with 1,000 milligrams a week, he actually called me a jerk. He goes, you're a jerk.
I would say an idiot, but you know, a jerk's probably nicer.
Yeah. But anyway, I am going to do a show on the psychological aspect of ED. I think it needs to be talked about. I don't think enough men talk about it, so.
Sounds like a good show.
Yeah, it's coming up. But anyway, let's give the website again so people can go and get the DVD on core training. I promise you, if you get this DVD, if you don't like it, send it back. I'll refund your money. I promise you that if you have any interest as a personal trainer or a physical therapist or just for your own edification, this will challenge what you think you know about core training. The website again is evo-performance.
.com. And we actually do offer a money back guarantee on everything we do. There's the seminars, our training, our rehab, the nutrition, everything is money back guarantee.
If they don't like it, they'll get their money back. There you go. It doesn't get much better than that. All right. Well, listen, thank you for coming on the show today, Peter.
You're welcome. Thanks, Cal.
We'll see everybody tomorrow. Tomorrow we're doing a local hero series. We're going to be showcasing a fellow who is challenging his body to lose hundreds of pounds, and it's a really motivating story. So tune in tomorrow. We'll see you then.